Well, let me add my good morning to each one of you this morning. So good morning. Like we've been talking about, we're getting back into the teaching of the return to the glory of the new covenant. A couple weeks ago, we looked at point one, and the week before that, we looked at the covenant. So grab your Bibles and get your outlines out. Let's turn to our Bibles together to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 6 through 18. We just began that 2 weeks ago. We looked at right at the beginning of it, and we're going to be in this for a while here, probably to this message and a couple of more. Here in our passage, Paul is, it's been talked about as contrasting the glory of the new covenant with the glory of the old covenant. It's what he's contrasting. We're going to listen to it and hear it, and we're to be overwhelmed, really, with the glory of the new, of what God has done in Christ. Both covenants were made by God with man, and are about how man relates to God. We covered that. The old covenant relationship was based on works. We've talked about that. It's fading. Its glory is fading. It's temporary. It's only for a time. The new covenant relationship man has with God is based on grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Its glory is shining. It's permanent. It's to be shining on our face. It's to be growing more brightly. As we've talked about this, bringing our minds back to where we're at, as we've looked at this, we've learned that what God says, the new covenant is a better covenant in Hebrews 8. We looked at all of that, read a little bit of Hebrews 8 and 9 today out of Jeremiah 31. Same idea of what God was talking about, a new covenant that we'd make. It's a better covenant than the old. It's with better promises. We looked at all of that, where our relationship with God is through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's founded upon God's graciousness, the covenant of grace, on his grace, not upon our works. It's not upon what we do. It's based upon what Christ did. It's not based upon us keeping of the law, but it's based upon faith in him. It's internal. We talked about that a lot. It's from the inside. It's not a set of rules. It's not the ways of God, the laws of God that we're going to be keeping and doing so we would be made right with God, and then we'd have a sacrifice when we fall short, and we keep doing the sacrifices so the outside is forgiven in a sense. It's internal. It's from the inside, this new covenant relationship. It's where you live God's way from the inside. The way of God is written on your heart. It's written within you. That's what we looked at in Hebrews 8 also. It's not external, a set of laws or rules written on a wall or a stone that we're trying to keep. It's a life we're trying to live that's in you. And I want you to capture that. We're going to talk about that again today as we move along through this, because this is Christianity. This is the truth of Christ and what he did on the cross and what he did when you put your faith in him, what God did in our lives. And we're going to cover that again today. And it's personal, too. Was it a national keeping of the law? If the nation of Israel wouldn't keep the law, then God dealt with the nation of Israel. This is personal. It's a personal relationship with God in a new covenant relationship. It's a personal walk with Christ, and our relationship is completely forgiven. It's in complete forgiveness, complete acceptance, complete reconciliation, complete justification, and we're not trying to keep the law of God to be any of those things. We are those through Christ. But the old covenant was, you need to keep these things so you are forgiven, accepted, reconciled in the eyes of God. And so it's different. It's totally different. Here in our text, Paul teaches us the glory of the new covenant in these areas. It gives life. It produces righteousness. It's permanent. It brings hope. It gives clarity to God's truth. It's centered on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's energized, empowered by the Holy Spirit, and it's transforming. Now, I can just tell you right now, the old covenant relationship that God ordained, this contract, right, what Brian was talking to us about, it never did that. It didn't change us. It didn't transform us. It wasn't energized and empowered by the Holy Spirit. It wasn't centered on Christ. It didn't give clarity. It didn't give life, and it didn't produce any righteousness, and it wasn't permanent. It's fading. We're seeing that in our text. So the contrast is really visible as we look at it. So I want you to listen to the passage. I want you to listen to it with the glory of what God has done in our new covenant relationship with Christ and what Paul is talking about here. I want you to listen in that way, the relationship that we have through Jesus Christ. They're both with glory, the covenants, but I want you to listen to the glory that is in our relationship now. 2 Corinthians 3, 6 through 18. Listen to what Paul writes. God, who also made us adequate as servants of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. But if the ministry of death, that's the old covenant relationship that we had, that no one could be reconciled back to God, nobody could be completely forgiven. It's to point us to Christ. And if you don't come to Christ, it actually is a ministry of death. In letters engraved on stones came with glory, so that the sons of Israel could not look intently at the face of Moses, because the glory on his face fading as it was. It had the glory of God on this covenant, because the way, the standards of God, the law of God reflected him, reflected his holiness, reflected who he is. That's its glory. I want you to capture that in the old covenant. The glory that was in the keeping of the law of God was the character, the nature, the attributes displayed in all of those laws that we had, displaying the character and nature of God in the law, in us trying to keep the law. It was displayed in the law. Verse 8, how will the ministry of the Spirit fail to be even more with glory? For if the ministry of condemnation has glory, much more does the ministry of righteousness abound in glory. For indeed what had glory, in this case has no glory, because of the glory which surpasses it. The new covenant surpasses it. It really makes the old covenant not even with the glory that it had. For if that which fades away was with glory, Paul writes, much more that which remains is in glory. Therefore, speaking to you and me, having such a hope, we use great boldness in our speech. We talk boldly about the glory of God in the gospel, and are not like Moses, who used to put a veil over our face so the sons of Israel would not look intently at the end of what was fading away. We don't cover this. You hear what Paul is saying, but their minds were hardened, for until this very day at the reading of the old covenant, the same veil remains unlifted, because by the law, no one would be justified. By keeping the rules, no one would be justified. That's what Paul is talking about. Verse 14, because it's removed in Christ. Verse 15, but to this day, whenever Moses is read, the veil lies over the heart. But whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, there's freedom to live for God. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory to glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. Did you hear what he said? What a magnificent passage. That this new covenant life, instead of the glory being displayed in the law of God, here is the holiness, the justice, the righteousness of God. It's in the law of God. He wrote it. It's in the Ten Commandments. Now he says in the new covenant, the glory of the Lord is shining on your face. And that's what God is doing. Don't let anybody teach you that keeping of the law, that's what he's dealing with. False teachers have come in and started teaching that you have Christ and you have to do these things. Yes, and you have to do these things. Yes, and you have to keep the law. And it's a teaching. And if you do these things, God will do these things. All of that false teaching that comes in, and Paul says, no. New covenant Christians, our life isn't about keeping of the law. Our life is about what God did on our life to display the glory of God in our salvation. And what we're trying to live is the life that we have now in Christ, not trying to keep some sort of rule. So we get something, or something's accomplished, or something's done. We're trying to live what God has done in our life. And yes, God's standard, God's word is the way, but keeping it isn't some law that makes God for us. God is for us. We keep it because it's who we are now in Christ, displaying the glory of God in our life. That's the crux of all of this. We're going to look at this today, but that's the crux. It's a remarkable passage. You and me are servants of the new covenant. We looked at that. When you trusted in Christ, God made you by the divine power of God. He made you adequate, capable, able as servants, as ministers of a new covenant relationship with God. It's to exude out of your life. We're going to get into that in chapter 4 and chapter 5. It's to pour out from you. It should come out of your pores like sweat. That's what he's talking about. This new life that you have in Christ, you are servants of this new covenant gospel, this new covenant relationship that God has given us. Your life, every part of living it, is to proclaim that faith in the Lord Jesus Christ saves, rescues, and delivers. Not faith in doing something right, not faith in keeping some sort of law right, not faith in believing God in some of his word is what God is going to do. It's just a trust, a faith in the Lord Jesus Christ saves. It should exude out of our lives that as servants, he's teaching us, your life is to proclaim that faith in Jesus gives life. Look at mine. That's how we're to live our life. You are to live your life that you should be able, and the people in your realm, this transformed the world in the early church. It transformed the world. The Christians became, you became a Christian, believer in Christ, and the way they lived their life, people said, wow, that's a different life. That's what God is talking about here, what Paul is teaching us here in the glory of the new covenant. That's why it gives life, this new covenant. It produced living rightly. That's righteousness. It's permanent. It's forever. It brings hope. We have all hope. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ brings clarity to God's truth. It's Christ-centered, not me-centered, not law-centered, not keeping of even God's word-centered. It's about focusing on Christ and following the Lord, and your life is energized and empowered. That's me, huh? I'll mellow out a little bit. But it is. It's energized and empowered by the Holy Spirit, and it's transforming the way you live. Each and every day, God's work in your life is transforming you into the image of Christ every day. That's the new covenant life. He's not going to leave you where you're at. He's going to keep working where you're at. Let me illustrate this to you. Now, I'm going to play the guitar today. Are you guys amazed? Mr. No musical talent. I mean, absolutely none. I have no musical ear at all. I mean, I have to sing next to somebody that can sing, or it's... Okay. So, this was what I want to illustrate to you using the guitar today, because this is going to bring it home to you in your life. I'm going to display the Old Covenant and New Covenant right here on the guitar. It's like playing a guitar. So if you're like me and you have no gift at all, no musical talent, no ear for it, right? You can go and you can get the books and you can watch all of the things on the computer, and you can practice and be diligent and do everything to play a tune, right? You can do everything that you can do. You can give it all you got. You can keep the law of God. Thinking about the covenant. You can do it, right? And you're going to be committed, and you're going to be dedicated, and you are going to keep the law. I'm going to learn how to play the guitar. I have no talent to. I have no thing, but I am going to do it, and I'm going to do it along there. But man, it's going to go. It's going to get, right? It's going to be one of those, right? Because I got no talent. I can try to keep the law of God as much as I can, but you know what? I'm going to break the law of God. And you know what? Then you had to do all the rituals and all of the things that God had. But then it didn't change you at all. You still couldn't keep the law. You just kept messing up the law. That's the old covenant law in relationship with God. And that's what it was. And sometimes it did all right. But as a Christian, that's not what we want to do. See, what happened was Christ came. Christ came, and it was beautiful. He kept the law perfectly. He never missed a note. Isn't that incredible? And then he gave his life as ransom for many. And he died on the cross. And he was raised again, and he said, whoever would believe in me, I'll give you life. And out of your life, I gave you the gift to play. He said, and you can play beautiful music to the Lord. And you, when you sin and when you mess up the notes, he said, I'm the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll come alongside of you, and I'll even hold your hand on the note for you. I'll walk you to the place where it's the tune that you want to play. Because the life that I've given you has given you the gift to play. All you have to do is to deny yourself. And you can do the things that God wants you to do. And even when you do play badly, that won't sound good, huh? He said, I'll come alongside your life. And he said, I'm not worried about playing. I'm worried about, have you surrendered for me to play through your life? If you have the relationship with Christ, the relationship with God, new covenant relationship with God, found in faith through Jesus Christ, you've been changed, transformed, made new. You can play the ways of God. You can live the word of God. No amount of law will ever make you able to play. Only faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you stumble, God just comes alongside, and it's transforming. And he's actually playing through us. That's what Paul is going to walk us through all the way to 18. That's the idea. First in our outline, a new covenant relationship gives life. I've talked to this kind of twice. Look at verse 6, but we need to finish this up. Look at verse 6. God, who also made us adequates of servants of the new covenant. You know, that's the gift to play. that you're a minister of the new life in Christ, that you can keep the Word of God, that you can follow God. That's why you learn God's Word and are taught God's Word. It's because it's from the inside. God has brought you this life that can live the ways of God from the inside, and He's gifted you to be able to play the note. It's not a law that you're trying to keep to be accepted by God. You're accepted, and now He changes your life for you to play to the glory of God. And He says this, who made us adequate as servants of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. In John 5:24, it says this, Jesus has the power to raise the dead just like God the Father. Jesus said in 5:24, if you believe in Him, He gave you life, and you passed out of death to life. You were once never ever to keep the notes, and now you pass from death into life to be able to play the notes. Paul wrote it this way in Ephesians 2:1 and following. He said that every human being that has ever lived was dead in the things of God, in their sins. They could not never play. No amount of keeping God's law, no amount of keeping God's rules, no amount of being good, no amount of keeping God's standards, none of that could ever change you, could ever make you adequate enough to play. But God, being rich in His mercy, it says in verse 5, in the grace of God and the display of love, when you believed in Christ, God made you alive in Christ. And I use that guitar illustration because before that, it didn't matter how diligent you were, you would never keep the law. And then when God made you alive in Christ, He gave you the ability, the gift, to be able to live the way of God. And there was no condemnation and no sacrifices needed when you stumbled, just the grace of God to guide and lead you in this new covenant life. So you have to have this new covenant life. And that's why God made you alive with Christ. In Romans 8, it says this, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead when you believed in Christ, when you surrendered your life to Him, He said He gave you life in your mortal body. He called it new life. The Spirit of life in Christ set you free from the law of sin and death, Romans 8. You've been set free from this law of sin and death, that if I sin, there's a law that I have to pay the penalty of the sin, or that I have to reconcile the sin, or I have to keep the law of God so I don't go into sin and all that kind of thing. God has changed us, transformed us. We've set us free from all of that. Paul said it like this in Ephesians 4:21 through 24. He said, when you believed, when you trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation, when you trusted in the truth of Christ in reverence to your former manner of life, he says this, you laid aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust and deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on a new self, which is in the likeness of God and has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Did you hear what Paul said? He said, God created you new. He changed you. He laid aside the old self. He put off the old self and put on the new self. We didn't know that in salvation. But God, by His divine power of creation, of creating, laid aside your old self and put on the new self. We, me, you, us, we're no longer, any Christian is no longer what they used to be. You have been given life, new life, a life that's able to play. In Colossians, he says, a life that we're to wear. He says, don't wear the old man in this life. That old man God has put off of you. He's given you a new man. Wear the new man. Wear who you are. I remember I preached those three sermons out of Colossians. I preached those at the seminary class, in the preaching class. Very interesting as I did that, and just the guy's comments and the professor's comments as I went through that, and just talking about that's the crux of Christianity there, is that when you came to faith in Christ, God changed you, transformed you. You're not trying to keep the law of God anymore in any kind of covenant relationship to get anything from God. You're trying to live what God did in your life, and in you, it's written on your heart and mind. It's in your new life in Christ. You have a desire of an ability, a want to live for the Lord. And you're just having to just deny the old self that didn't want to do that. Did you know your flesh will never want to follow the Lord? And do you know when you go to heaven what's left here? Your flesh that never wanted to follow the Lord. You go to heaven, and when you get there, your flesh isn't there, so you don't have that battle going on anymore. You know what you do in heaven? You just live everything rightly. Isn't that incredible? Because how bad do we actually live here? When you get there, you just live everything rightly because that's the new life that you have in Christ. You're just incarcerated or with this old self that wants to just be self-gratified. That's the battle going on. That's always the battle going on. And anytime that you don't go the ways of the Lord, you know what you're walking, what you're following after? You. And so Paul is putting this down here. Why would anybody want to teach? Why would anybody want to preach in a church? Why would anybody want to say anything to the church? Then your things, what you do, bring about what God wants to do and what God wants to give you in life. Because God came to not make it about you and about him and gave you the new life to make it about him. Let's go a little deeper in this. Turn your Bibles to Colossians 2. Yeah, we got time to look at this. Because this is important for us to understand about the new life, that we're to wear the new life in Christ. We're to be able to play as God wants us to play because he's given us the ability to play. We have to learn God's word. We have to grow in God's word. Sometimes just bringing clarity from God's truth really releases us or helps us get out of a place where we were thinking we were doing rightly or wrongly. And that's why we need to study, and you need to be encouraged in Bible studies and come along, because we all have to renew our thinking, because my thinking plays like the old self and it just clicks around on it. And so my new self needs to understand what it looks like to play with the gift that God has given me to be able to live this life. But if we go deeper, look at Colossians 2. I want you to start in verse 10. Yeah, let's look in verse 10. And we're just talking about this new life, this new covenant relationship with God, to believe in Christ, this new life, that it gives this new life. And it's in Colossians 2. Let me get my Bible there. 2:10. Right, yeah, beginning 2:10. It says this, "And in him," that's Jesus Christ, that's God himself, the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity. It says this, "And in him," and you are in him if you believed in him, he put you in him. It's you and him and you, and that is, "You have been made complete." This is what God is saying. That's when you believe. That's when you trusted Christ. That's when you came to faith in Christ. It said it made you complete, and he's the head and rule over all authority. Now, he's the one in charge of it. He's the one to head over all rule and all authority. And when God says that you put your faith in Christ, that God made you complete, you're complete. What does that mean? You're not incomplete. You like that definition? What's he talking about there, that I'm complete? Well, I'm not complete yet because I'm still sinning and I'm still doing that. What is he talking about? The same word in complete, what is it? It's I made you adequate. Same kind of word. I made you able. I made you full. And I'm in charge. Look at verse 11. "And in him," Jesus Christ, "you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands in the removal of the body of flesh by the circumcision of Christ." That's a big knife, don't you guys think so? That in your salvation, what God did, he just cut you. He circumcised you out of your flesh into this new life in Christ. This is Christianity. This is for us as we are living this life in this world. And no, I'm new. God has circumcised my flesh. Now I got to battle it and I got to fight it, but he's removed it. He's cut it away. That's very graphic. Verse 12, "Having been buried with him in baptism, I died to sin like Christ died for sin, in which you were also raised with him." What was he raised to? To new life through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. Verse 13, "You were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh." Every believer, every person on this planet is, apart from believing and trusting in Christ. And when you believed in him, he made you alive. He circumcised you from your flesh. And look what he says. "He made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all of our transgressions." You've been made alive. You got to capture that. Moping around in this life or going around in this life with like, ooh, it's this and that. You've been made alive. The world is dead to God, to the things of God, and headed toward eternal damnation. You are not. And God said, "I want to display the glory of me in your life and out of your mouth." And the world is dead. This is what Paul is saying. How can you have a teacher come in and say, "Keep the laws, keep the rules, so you could have life"? I have life. You have life. You should jump up and down right now. And nobody can take it from you. We walk around in this world, Christians walking around living this life like life is in this thing. Life is right here. It's the life of God. Life isn't in this earth. The earth is dead. That's the transformation. That's what Paul's getting to. Why would anybody want to keep laws in a dead place and teach that that's the way we're supposed to proclaim God's word. Keep God's rules and you'll have life. I just can't move this right arm in it, so just... No, you have the life. Live God's life. Let me find my place again. Look at chapter 3 now. Look at chapter 3. If it does it again, Sam, we'll try. Now you look at what Paul is writing in Colossians chapter 3. Get into this, what he's saying. Therefore, if you have been raised, chapter 3, verse 1. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, if you've been made alive, if you have salvation, if you've been born again, if you've been raised up in Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you will be revealed with him in glory. Did you hear what he said? Did you see what God's word is saying? If you got this new life in Christ, then keep seeking it where you got it from. You got it from faith in Christ, trusting Christ. Keep seeking the truth of Christ and his word. Keep seeking after Jesus' way. Keep seeking after Jesus' way of life for you. Set your mind on God's truth. That's how you play the guitar. That's how you play the gift that God has given you. You got to be committed. You got to be diligent. You got to be all the things that God would want you to be in that. But you've been given an ability to play because Christ now is your life. Look at verse 5. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. Verse 9 or verse 8. But now you also put all them aside: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech. Listen, when you have these earthly things going on in your life, when you have immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires, greed, idolatry going on, or when you have anger, when you have wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech coming out of your mouth, you know what you're doing? I'm going to put on my old self. I'm not going to wear who I am. He said, just put it away. He said, consider it dead. This is Christianity. This is what we do. This is the life. You wouldn't tell somebody now, go keep a law and you won't get angry anymore. That's what I want you to get today. If you get one thing today, and anything that you got going on, and if you're a Christian, and God's word speaks to your heart about something that you're doing in your life, don't approach it like a law. If I go do the law, then God will do the thing. Approach it like it's in your life, it's in your heart, it's who you are. And God is just wanting to bring out who you are in your life and be in following Christ and becoming more like Christ. That's Christianity. It's never about any set of rules that we're trying to live. Let me put it this way, just to help you. It's not the word of God that I want to know so it's a rule or law over my life so I won't have bad things in my life. It's the word of God in my life and the word that God says he's given me the gift to play and I want to play it. Because if you're a Christian and you see it as a law that you're trying to keep and do something that you're going to get from something from God, it has no life. And I see a lot of Christians and a lot of believers that think if they would have just kept the law, their life would have been different. God is saying it ain't about that at all. I'm God, I'm over your life. If you'll just follow me, I'll transform your life. The glory of me will shine upon your life, and I've got your life. That is so important. How many of us in here think following the law, following the word of God, is going to make our life wonderful? It does do a lot in our life. But what happens when your life isn't wonderful and you've been following the word of God? Ask Paul. You know who the greatest drummer ever was? The greatest guitar player in the new covenant relationship with God that God says? Who's it say? John the Baptist. You want his life? Well, man, he was the greatest believer in Christ and person on the planet living for the Lord. And he got beheaded. It's not God's truth to say if you live God's word totally committed, that life's going to turn out the way you think it should turn out. Yes, following God's word. Yes, we teach it here. Don't ever get me wrong. Or don't ever take it wrong. We're following God's word. Isn't the right thing to do, the honorable thing to do, and God doesn't bless it. But don't approach it as a law. That if you keep it, then he has to bless it. That's approaching it as a law. That's false teaching. That's the whole teaching going on in all the faith movement. if you'll just do the ways of God and the word of God, God will perform. God's over our life. We're to show the glory of God out of our life. That's what it's all about. Our life will happen. Yes, it's important to follow. Teach our kids. Sometimes when I say that, I know just, us here, it gets our heart. Oh, are you saying we don't have to follow God's word? Why wouldn't you play the gift that God has given you? That's the point. But if you promote it, then now, you know what, following God's word, let me just say it in this way. To be obedient to God's word, to trust and believe in God's word, following Christ is what God has asked you to do, what he has saved you to do, what he desires to do in your life. That's what God wants to do in your life as you follow him and transform your life to be more like Christ, as you're obedient to that. But what following God's word does is keep my sin's corruption out of my life. Because my sin corrupts my life tremendously. It changes the way I think. It changes my opinion of things. It changes the way I see the world. It changes the way that I relate to people. And then sin corrupts, and it corrupts everything, and we all know that. And we can't just say, oh, well, I had some sin and that thing, and things weren't corrupted. Yes, we need to be obedient to God's word. And I would never want you to think, oh, well, we're not to be. But it's not a law or rule of God like an old covenant relationship. It's a new covenant relationship. We follow God's word because it's the life we've been given. It's in us. It's written right here. Is that clear? Help me. And that's important. Because we fall on each side of that. Because listen to what he says in verse 9 and following. He says, do not lie to each other. Since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices, yes, we do that and follow God's way and put on the new self who is being, this is what God is doing, the new self, this is who I am, a new creature in Christ, a new creation with new life. I am a new self who is being renewed, that word you could say renovated, to a true knowledge, to a true understanding. Who? Me. I'm to have a true understanding, true knowledge, according to the image of the one, God, who created me and my salvation. That's why I learned the word of God, so I can understand who I am in Christ. We're all trying to learn who we are, trying to come into a greater understanding of what God has done in our life and what we're to live. That's why he says in 12 through 17, listen to this, wear who you are, be who you are, play who you are. Verse 12, so as those who have been chosen of God, holy, set apart by God, and beloved of God, put on a heart of compassion, put on a heart of kindness, put on a heart of humility, of gentleness, of patience. Bear with one another, forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord has forgiven you. Beyond all these things, put on love. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Let the word of Christ dwell within you richly. Verse 17, and whatever you do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks through him to God the Father. He's talking about the guitar. Play who you are. You have a heart of compassion. You have a heart of kindness. You have all of those. Don't look at those as a law. And God says, oh, I have to be compassionate and I have to be kind as a law so I can be forgiven by God or accepted by God or justified by God or in relationship with God. No, God said in my life, I have a heart of compassion. I have a heart of kindness. I have a heart of humility. I have a heart of gentleness. I need to let the peace of Christ rule my life. I need to let the word of Christ richly dwell within me. And then in my life, I will live the glory of God shining on on my life. Because that's what God has done in salvation. I'm not trying to work for God to do something in my life. He did it. I'm trying to deny myself and allow God to live that life through me. That's important. That's important for us. None of living this way that we just read through all of that redeems you, reconciles you, justifies you, brings forgiveness. It's never been a work of God. The law, the old covenant, was given to show you that you could not live it and you need a Savior. And when he saves you, he gives you, he redeems you, reconciles you, justifies you, brings forgiveness, and then gives you new life that lives that way. And it's not a work you do. He gave you new life with the ability to live it. You're servants of the new covenant. Lay off the old self. The old self just wants to be gratified. It just wants to be accepted and blessed for trying. The new self is following the Lord. Adequate servants of God. I've said that a lot, but it's important. the relationships that I have, the ones that are in my life, and the people that I know, that is a big struggle in approaching God's word and God's way as some sort of covenant way I have to live so God is for me. No, it's a way of life, the word of God, that God has implanted in you and given you the new life that is adequate servants of it that you can live. You're just choosing not to live it. And then scapegoating and then blame shifting and then telling people and sharing that God messed up. Amen, church? He never messed up. This isn't about your performance gets God to do what he wants to do, and then if your performance is bad, then God didn't do what according to your... It's not that. For the new covenant relationship, second glory, we'll get to this, is that it produces righteousness. Go back to 2 Corinthians, look what it says. Verse 7 through 11, but if the ministry of death in letters engraved on stones came with glory so that the sons of Israel could not look intently on the face of Moses, it had the character and nature of God in it because the glory was fading away. How will the ministry of the Spirit, new life that we have in Christ, new covenant life, fail to be with even more glory? How it's going to be more of God's character, more of God's glory, more of God's attributes, more of God. For if the ministry of condemnation had glory, much more does the ministry of righteousness, that's the word we're going to look at, and we'll close with that today, the ministry of righteousness abound in glory. For indeed, what had glory in this case has no glory because of the glory that surpasses it. For if that which fades away was with glory, much more that which remains has glory. Listen to what he's saying. In your righteousness means, at its base meaning, what God requires and desires. That's what it means. What God requires and desires. And when keeping of the law never produced a righteousness, it never produced anybody that could keep what God desires and requires. And it never made you a person that could keep what God desires and requires. But the new covenant relationship imputed the righteousness of Christ on you and then gave you the righteousness, the ability to keep the law or to keep the word of God. Let me say that again. Let me get in my notes and read how I wrote it down so it's like this. Keeping of the law never produced righteousness. Nobody could ever keep it, what God requires or desires. And if you don't, it brings condemnation, death. But God showed us in this, that was fading away. The glory was fading away, meaning it was temporal. It wasn't going to last. Let me explain this, because it's not eternal. There will be no laws in heaven because we will all do what God requires and desires. Because it will be our very nature to. You got that in your new life in Christ. Do you know when you die, no transformation takes place? Just separation, your body stays here and you go be with the Lord. Because guess what? In your new life, you're already transformed. You know what? It just keeps pounding on my head. Man, I'm just pretty fleshly, God. I really struggle with my flesh. You want to say amen to that one, guys? I'm just realizing, wow, I really struggle with just living for my flesh. And then you know what I do? I changed God's word to say if I'll keep a law, my flesh will be happier. Oh, I'm so deceived. Because my flesh is a liar, because the only one that speaks to that is the enemy. God doesn't talk to my flesh. He only talks to my spirit. And God says to my spirit, can I reconcile you, redeemed you, forgave you forever? You're my son. You're my child. I love you. I care for you. I'm for you. And I've given you the new life with the ability to live the way I want you to live. All I've asked you to do is just, for the short time you're here, deny yourself. And I can't deny myself. Isn't that the battle? But it produced a righteousness in the new covenant. This is incredible. It produced a righteousness in me. It's the ministry of righteousness. The new life desires to live what God requires. You guys know that. What does all 1 John say? When the law came, love God and love your neighbor as yourself. In the old covenant law, not one person could love God and love God and love his neighbor as yourself. What does God say in 1 John 5, in 1 John and the whole thing? If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, God loved you first. And what do? It says this is in you. You love God and you love others. And if you don't, you're not saved. That's the transformed life. That's the new life. It's produced a righteousness in you. Think about husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church. You know, that's not a work for me. That's in here. That's just denying myself. That's in me. That's what Paul is teaching here. It produced a righteousness. Two ways. Let me tell you how to produce the righteousness in you. Romans 4, 3 through 5 says this: when you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, he credited that as righteousness, what God requires. Believing in him by faith, you're born again. You have this new life. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is required by God to come into a new covenant relationship with God. Righteousness, what God requires. When you came into that relationship, God imputed to you, clothed you in the righteousness of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Christ in his life fulfilled the law, kept it perfectly, and through faith in Jesus Christ, God now sees you as you fulfilled the law perfectly. Every day, positionally. Every day I fulfilled the law. Not only that, in this new life, he gave you a desire and ability to live rightly, to live what God desires. Philippians 1:11 says it this way: you have been filled with the fruit of righteousness. Paul wrote it in 3:9 in Philippians this way: not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, keeping the rules didn't get me any righteous, but the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. He gave you a righteousness. John wrote in 1 John 3:7, those who practice righteousness are righteous, just as Jesus is righteous. It means this in original language: those who are working to live what God desires and requires from their new life have been made right before God, given a life that desires to live rightly, just like Jesus. I got to illustrate to you. I got to give you one more guitar lesson. You guys actually think I'm going to actually play a song at some point. Yeah, there's no hope, okay? But this is, and we're going to end with this. We'll end with this because I can pick this up because we're going to be in here a long time. Look at, I'm getting ready like I'm a player. Johnny Cash, right? Right. If I start singing Ring of Fire, you guys need to run me out. So remember I said Christ came? And he lived a perfect life. He kept all the law. Isn't that incredible? He kept every one of them. He never sinned. He kept all the law of God. And this is what we want on our heart today. And I want you to remember this. This tune's going to be with you all week. It's going to be the tune of Ken. Do, 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 do. That's all I know how to play, okay? But he played it. He did it right. He did it right. And like I said, he gave his life as a ransom for many. He died on the cross. Whoever would believe in him would have this life. Brian, you read it today. What did it call? What did it call? It was in Hebrews 9:15. Huh? It was, or 8:15, 9:15. It was eternal redemption. Whoever would believe in Christ would have eternal redemption, forever redeemed in God, and redeemed in Christ. And when you believe in Christ, you know what? You know what God clothed you with? This right here. Beautiful music of Christ. He sees you, that you kept the law perfectly. So in that covenant relationship, you did it because you wear it of Christ. Think about that all through your day and all through your life and everything that you got going on. He did that. That's the love of God. And then what did he do? He gave you the ability. It's called righteousness. He gave you the ability to live what God requires. It's in you. We have to learn God's word, study God's word, be committed, faithful to the things of God, but it's in you. It's not outside of you, it's in you to live what God wants you to live. Now we stumble and we fall and you get that note all the time, but don't ever doubt it's not there. What you need to do is turn to the Lord and say, help me play, Lord. Help me deny myself. Help me love my wife like you've asked me to love. Help me with my attitude. What's he going to do? Not come along somebody that he sees as purely a new old covenant relationship keeper like Christ? He's going to say, oh, you got no gift. You'll never be able to play. No, he's going to come alongside and he's going to show you. It might just be this right here. It might be that one note that you've been working on for a long time. But he's going to come. He's going to be there because it's in you. That's our God. Why would we want to believe any other teaching that says you got to keep some sort of rule to get God to be who God really is? To make God do what he really wants to do? It's faith in Christ and Christ alone. It's trust in Him. It's put your faith in Him. It's surrender all. The song we sang today. I'm learning in my own life, I don't surrender much. And all God wants to do is play it out of my life. Because of Jesus Christ. But I'm completely forgiven. I'll never get that. I'll never get the depth of all of that. That in me is this desire to just be self-gratified, and that God, by His grace, has clothed me in the righteousness of Christ and given me a desire to live rightly. And even when I fail so, God just keeps coming alongside, trying to renew my mind to what is true, to play this music. And then one day when we all get there, we all play it perfectly. I bet you I can play the guitar there. I can't hear. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father, we just thank You for this day that You've given us. What a wonderful service today to come to be a family of God, a body of Christ, all redeemed, all reconciled if we believed in Christ. And if there's anybody here that hasn't, they don't know the life we're talking about. Uncomprehendable to them. But in Your heart, You can pierce them with the truth of Christ, and they can have this draw in their life to just surrender. Just to say, I want to believe in Christ. I just want to give up. Whatever it may be, put my faith in Him. I want Your life, Lord. I don't even know what it is, but I know You are true and You are right, and You died for me and arose again so I could have this life. That's all it takes, is a contrite heart, a real person in reality to say, God, save me. I give it to You. So if there's anybody here today, Lord, I pray, I ask, Lord, for your truth to penetrate from Your word today the hearts that have saw the law of God and been hardened like the reading of Moses. And today You softened it by Your grace, and You want to bring them into the family of God. We're supposed to exude that out of our life every day and everything we do, and speak forth that in our life in the midst of all that we have to do. That's how I got saved. That's how everybody in the room here got saved. You pierced their heart with the truth. Somebody said something about Christ, and You revealed the truth to them, and everything became new. We didn't even know what it meant. Still don't know what it all means. Still growing in that. And a wonderful time today, Lord, to take communion and remember that You did this as a sacrifice. Nobody made You. God the Father didn't twist Your arm and walk You to the cross. You willingly said, I'll go. As a definition of love that God has for humanity. We remember that You lived a sinless life, that You gave up Your earthly life, in a sense, for something so much greater for us. And then now in this life, just life that we have here till You return, You ask us if we'll live in such a way that glory, that character and nature of God, of love and mercy and of grace and forgiveness and of hope and of truth and of kindness and compassion and care, You'll let You display it on our face. What a privilege, Lord, that we have. This is only for a time, the church age, never to be after, in a sense, never was before. Thank You for the day You've given, for Your word to our hearts, for the ministry of reconciliation, from the good news of Jesus Christ to the new covenant that came through Christ, this new contract, this new thing that You made between us and You by the blood of Christ, to absolutely redeem us completely. Thank You, and we praise You in Christ's name. Amen. We're dismissed for today.